Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, once again for this day. And we ask, O Lord, that you would open these words to us. Yes, we can read them, we can understand them, but they also are food to our souls. As you, Jesus taught us, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And as Paul wrote in another place, that these words are profitable. And so we do pray that, we would come away profiting from them. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, happy Mother's Day. Yeah, it's Mommy's Day. She's not here right now. She's downstairs, but you can always say happy Mother's Day. Well, when we were having babies, we actually had a Mother's Day baby, a baby that was born on Mother's Day. As a matter of fact, he just celebrated his 35th birthday. And in less than 6 days, he's going to get married. So you probably know who I'm talking about. He's getting married this coming Saturday. So one of the things that was kind of comical was when he first got engaged, he told me, "You're not going to perform the wedding." And then recently he asked me to perform the wedding. So I've been thinking about and preparing for his wedding this Saturday. And as I've been doing so, I've been thinking about Mother's Day and wedding. And this particular passage, if you notice, has the reference to a nursing mother and also a father. Do you see that? And so as I've been thinking about all of these things, and especially Mother's Day, the church has described as a mother of those who believe. You know that? The church is described as the bride of Christ. I mean, that one is pretty obvious, Ephesians chapter 5. But also the church has provided servants, Paul is the example here, as nurturing mothers and loving fathers. At least that's the way that Paul describes his own ministry among the Thessalonians. And so as we enter into this particular passage, what's happening is that people are attacking Paul. People are attacking his apostleship. And he is defending himself against that attack. And at the same point in time, he is trying to strengthen the church. And so there's a couple of the purposes in this letter. A self-defense of his ministry, but also a further nurturing and strengthening of this young church, this mission work that the Lord granted him to be involved with. And so, if you want to summarize what Paul is saying, one way we can say it is this way. We don't live for ourselves, but for Christ and for one another. Or another way, he says it in another place, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And as Christ has laid down his life for the brethren, as he says, I desire to impart to you not only the gospel, but my own lives. And so as we think about Mother's Day, isn't that true about mothers? That they must lay down their lives. They must give up the freedoms and all and focus on and nurture this small little baby that is helpless without them. And as that child grows and becomes more self-sufficient, sometimes that is even harder to deal with than when they were helpless. And so, mothers, right, you had to give up a lot. There's a lot of challenge in being a mother. And so, here Paul is describing himself in those words. And so, let's think about those. So, first of all, my first point is there, boldly serving the Father. We see that in verses 1 and 2. He says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." So he came to Thessalonica in boldness. Now notice he says, boldness in our God to speak. Now again, we didn't spend much time in preparation, but if you know Acts chapter 16 and 17, Paul was there in Philippi and was preached the gospel, and conflict arose, and he ended up in prison. And while in prison, Silas started praising God, and next thing you know, the door is flung open and they are freed. And the Philippian jailer comes in and he is about to kill himself because he's going to have to serve all of the sentences of all the escaped prisoners. And Paul told him to stop. And the jailer came in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And what did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household." So we see the vindication, if you will, of Paul, but yet the persecution there in Philippi. And so they travel south down to Thessalonica. And again, they come into they start with about 3 weeks of uninterrupted ministry, and then the persecution arises as the Jews from Philippi come down and cause trouble, and they have to move on. And so Paul is writing this letter to that new missionary church, and he says, "You know the pure persecution that we just experienced. You know that we will experience more in Thessalonica, in Berea, and into Athens, and so on, into Corinth, and so on." And so Paul is aware that ministering, that loving, costs. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did our Lord Jesus Christ come to serve? Did Jesus Christ, was he motivated by love? Was he willing to lay down his life in submission to God the Father? Jesus himself said, "I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and to finish the work that he has given me to do." We read in Isaiah chapter 61, he actually quotes that when explaining at the beginning of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." And then he goes through and describes his ministry. He served with boldness. Even though that when he quoted that passage, the next thing that happened was what? The people he quoted to tried to kill him. Took him to a cliff and tried to push him off the cliff and kill him. Those were his neighbors in Nazareth. Yet he was bold. And he went down, it says in Luke chapter 4, he went down to Capernaum and taught there. That was got him in trouble in Nazareth. He didn't just go and just keep silent. He continued on in his ministry, no matter what the opposition is. Our Lord Jesus, in his first coming, served the Father with boldness. Paul here describes that himself, that he serves. If you notice in verse 2, "We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." Don't be surprised if you speak the truth that people are going to not like you. There are those that, "I have my own truth and don't you dare mess with it." We live in a society and a culture today now, or to speak the truth is, "I'm so offended. You can't say that because I don't agree with it. You can only tell me what I agree with." No, don't be surprised. Did this happen with Jesus? Did it happen with Paul? Does the world oppose the truth? And so we shouldn't be surprised. What are we called to be? Well, Proverbs 28:1 says, "The righteous are as bold as a lion." I don't know about you, but I am not bold in myself, but I know that God is bold, Christ is bold, and the Spirit given to us enables us to be bold. And so God has called us to serve the Father in boldness. consistently. And the best illustration of that is serving as a mother. Right? You can't just give up and say, forget it, I'm going to turn the children over to the state. I don't think you want to do that. Right? Is being a mother, is there times where it is hard? We're learning in some ways, my wife and I, that being parents to adult children is hard or harder than small children. So I hope that's not a discouraging word for those of you that have small children, but in some ways it's harder. You never stop being a parent. You love your children. And so there you find a boldness, a serving boldness, serving boldly what God has given you. And so we do want to honor the moms amongst us, and even the moms that are not here with us, that they boldly have served us, and we need to honor them as such. They laid down their life for you. And so we are so thankful to God for giving us faithful mothers. The second point, faithfully serving Him, verses 3 through 6. Paul says that I'm an apostle of Christ, and yet I'm being attacked as a renegade. Why? Because I'm preaching to the Gentiles the gospel. And the Jews are coming and attacking me, saying I'm a heretic because I'm not teaching the Bible as they understand it. Notice, he says in those verses, our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit or delusion. In other words, it wasn't because of an impure character that, or that I tried to establish or inculcate deceit. I didn't try to sow doubt. I spoke boldly the truth, whatever the cost. Notice also, positively, I was entrusted with the gospel, so I spoke not to please men. If he had desired to be a pleaser of men, he wouldn't have spoke the gospel. But he said, I desired to please the one who sent us. Verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing man, but God who tests our hearts. Our speech and our motivation was questioned, verses 5 and 6, but yet we did not fail. To what? To please the Father. That is the goal. Isn't that what our Lord Jesus Christ do? He said, I did not come to please myself. I did not come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. My goal in life was to please God. So what about you? Is that your goal in life? We've talked about this before. In James, he talks about self-pleasing, right? The natural man lives, and everything exists around us to please ourselves. What has God called you and I? We're called to be faithful, to strive to be faithful, to serve our Master, to please God rather than men. Children, is it important to you to please your mother? To please your father? Now, can that be sinfully exercised? Yes. But do you care about them? Do you love them? Are you aware of their desire for you? If you have godly parents, what is the desire that they have? What is the greatest desire that they have for you? You would know the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him and love Him and serve Him and please Him. So the best Mother's Day gift that you could give your mother is your desire to please Jesus, to please Him, to serve Him rather than yourself. Notice also the third point, as Paul is saying, imitate me. Notice the caring and compassion with His beloved. Look at verse 7. But we were gentle among you. Literally, what he's saying is, we became babies in your midst. We became gentle like a baby. Now, could he have charged and demanded obedience and provision? He says he could have as an apostle of Christ, but he didn't. He says we were gentle among you as babies in your midst. And then he goes on to say, and here's what brought this passage to mind in this day, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, that tender care, that cherish, that comfort. Moms, when your baby was crying and you were able to nurse or you were able to provide for that child and that child stopped crying and was content, did that please you? Did that bring comfort to you? Did that a feeling of reward? And the answer is yes. You cherish your children. You desire their comfort. Here Paul says, that's how we were among you. Isn't it kind of strange that Paul, a guy, is saying we were like mothers, nursing mothers. We had that kind of compassion, that care for you. Do you ever stop and say, thank you, God, for my mother's care for me? That she looked out for you, she cared about you, when you were a brat, she still loved you. Notice what he says in verse 8, furthermore, so affectionately longing for you. Notice that. We yearned after you. We were separated from you. He's writing a letter to them. You are dear to us. We have affection towards you. There's a bond of love. Even though they only spent 3 weeks together. And yet God had so knit the heart of Paul to the Thessalonians that he speaks of this yearning, this affection. How much more, like I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, His affection towards you from eternity. He loved you from eternity. How do you know? Because He laid down His life for you. And He sent His Spirit. He goes on to say, we labored to not be a burden to you. Verse 9. Our labor and toil, we labored night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. Again, did your mother labor night and day? We had some very long labors that went night and day. But even with that, how about day by day? Moms labor to love their children. To not be a burden. And notice he goes on to say, verse 10, you are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So now he brings in the father, doesn't he? His love toward the Thessalonians. You know, notice that, you know, you've seen our behavior. As I imitate Christ, you've seen that. And so he's saying to us, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Remember our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus, laid down his life for the sheep and said, greater love has no man than this. You're included in that love. And so what does he say? Come unto me, learn of me, follow me. I sat through David's commencement address, commencement, graduation. And in it, there was a charge to the students. And what was fascinating about the charge is basically it was three words. And he repeated it in multiple ways, but it was three words. And it was, listen to Jesus. And he had addressed it in many different ways. As servants of Christ, listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. Let him guide you. When the world is speaking, listen to Jesus. I thought it was a great charge. I hope you guys all took that to heart. I think so. But one of the things that he said in context was he encouraged them to remember their professors and imitate their professors. But then he said, and what was it that the professors wanted them to imitate? Listen to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Do what Jesus says. Greater love is no man than this, that he would lay down his life. So, in conclusion, we are called to be servants of Christ. We're called to love one another as Christ has loved us. So shall we be his disciples. We're called to be babes, to be babies, and to nurse from the Word of God, to be gentle amongst one another. We're called to be those that exercise tender care like a mother. We're called to lovingly correct and encourage one another like a father. As Paul says, we are called to impart not only the gospel, but our own souls for one another. That's a hard thing to ask for, isn't it? We're called not to live for ourselves, but for Him. So that's what I started with. We don't live for ourselves, but for Christ and for those He loves. And so thank you, mothers, for your example, for your setting before us that love, reflecting in the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's respond to God's Word by... Well, let's pray first. Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we thank you once again for granting to us godly mothers and examples of godly women in our lives, that you have shown us the love and the care and the compassion, the tenderness of a mother and the love even of a father, parents and brothers and sisters, pastors and elders that have loved us and lived Christ before us. And we pray, O Lord, especially for the young ones, but for all of us, that we would appreciate what you've given us through Paul and also through those that have imaged or imitated you, followed you. And help us, Lord, to be also imitators and examples to those who come behind us. We pray that you do that work, that we would be a thankful people in word and deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.